Pikachu, Pika, Pikachu. Pika, Pika, Pikachu.
Hello, everybody out there. Welcome to Peekaboo Podcast. We're doing something a little different today. I've had a lot of people tell me that episode 3 isn't working. It's lost to the ether. And, well, I think you're all right. I've been trying for months and just could not make this stuff go. And so, since a lot of important stuff goes down in episode 3, I decided it was high time I went and fixed this problem. So, I grabbed me a Celebi, went back in time, and rewatched episode 3. Yes, to you people listening in chronological order, this is my voice from the future! After logging 200 episodes, I came back to redo this one. So, A, you have a lot of listening to get through to catch up, but listen, how much better it sounds once I learn a thing or two about editing! And B, since I have such a different perspective, this may not sound anything like episodes 1 or 2. I'm actually a little worried about that. Like, I felt there was so much I covered in the original episode 3. I'm not sure I was able to recall all my theories and crazy tangents this time. If not, well, take comfort. I do tend to repeat myself over the next couple hundred episodes. We'll probably be okay. I'm sure the information made it out one way or the other. Anyway, if this is your first time joining us, welcome to Pikappy Podcast, the Pokemon anime podcast that goes through each episode of the Pokemon anime one at a time, start to finish in order as best we can when sometimes we have to go back and fix things. But we love Pokemon here on this show, love it so much that we went back and recorded an episode twice. So I hope you enjoy this, and thank you so much for joining us today. Pikappy Podcast is brought to you by PIRN, the Pokemon Internet Radio Network, streaming Pokemon music 24/7. And not just music from that lofty future I mentioned, music from right now. And the past? They've got the stuff Sammy Oak listened to as a kid, they got the stuff Ash Ketchum listens to when he's 20. A whole broad spectrum of music from all aspects of the franchise, several different languages. You can pretty much find anything to suit your interests on there. All your favorites and probably a few gems that you've never heard before. So definitely go give them a listen. Go check them out at pirnradio.blogspot.com. Give them a listen, vote for your favorites, explore a little the wide world of Pokemon music. After, of course, you listen to this episode, number 3, 2.0. So, chronologically, last episode, Ash was getting all serious with the Pokeball, spying a little tiny Caterpie in the woods and being like, yes, I will be a Pokemon master. And today, we open with a showdown. Him and Caterpie, mano a mushi. Will Ash catch his first Pokemon? The answer is yes. Not much of a fight. Ash just chucks the Pokeball and Caterpie is caught, didn't weaken it or anything. So rarely does that actually work for me when I try it. After all that dramatic tension, too. But it is a big deal, his first capture. And when the Pokeball wiggles its last wiggle, Ash is overjoyed. He goes into celebratory mode, jumping and dancing, and just pulls Misty around and around. She's much less thrilled, and we find out that Misty is afraid of bugs. Can't stand them. She also hates carrots and bell peppers, but really, the number one thing is bugs. Even if they're in Pokeballs. So while Ash is like, I love you, Caterpie, even though we've just met, can I cuddle you? Misty wants nothing to do with this thing, to the point of being rude and hurting its feelings. But before we get into the Misty Caterpie drama, let's talk about Ash, because he says some very character-defining things here. He presents the Pokeball to Pikachu and says, we caught a new friend. Oh, I'm so glad you like it, and now we're going to catch a bunch of new friends. And this is an attitude Ash often takes when it comes to catching and training Pokemon. His focus is less on collecting and always on, I have a new friend now. His goal in being a Pokemon master seems to be that every Pokemon in the world views him as a friend. And his training is definitely less focused on catching a wide variety of Pokemon as much as developing very close bonds with the Pokemon he has in his care. And I've always thought about this, but it's more driven home now after doing so many seasons of this podcast and being able to compare. But Ash's completely over-the-top expressions of joy at having a friend here, I wonder if that's the real reason he went on a Pokemon journey. Because the only person from Pallet Town Ash could call a friend is Gary. And that wasn't in a good place last time we saw them. It's my theory, even without, like, Takeshi Shudo's novelizations to back it up, just from the evidence we've seen in the series, at this point in time, I would speculate Ash has no human friends. I think when he's with Pokemon is the only time he feels accepted. The friend he had in Gary kind of pushed him away. And I think part of his motivation for becoming a Pokemon trainer is being able to surround himself with friends that won't leave. That is all headcanon on my part, but we've seen already in these two short episodes, Ash is more in tune with Pokemon than with people. And he's more liked by Pokemon than he's liked by people. And he's so alone. Like, these early episodes, for some reason, make me sad when I see Ash. Especially after 200 episodes of watching Ash just love people and Pokemon and surround himself with friends and opens up to humans and Pokemon alike. It's kind of heartbreaking to go back to the time where he had no one. Misty kind of despises him, and Pikachu still isn't sure about any of this, and Gary's in full-on idiot mode. Even Professor Oak is a little less than supportive. He was definitely not earning any points with Nurse Joy last episode. Like, having gotten to see a little bit of Ash's vulnerability over the course of the series, and also his capacity to love when people accept it, this is just a little sad. But anyway, much to Misty's distress, Caterpie really likes her. It just makes a beeline and starts nuzzling the girl, and Misty's whining and screaming. She calls Caterpie disgusting and tells Ash to keep it in the Pokeball. Of course, Caterpie's feelings are hurt. It starts to cry, but that doesn't get Misty's sympathy. Ash, though. It got Ash's sympathy, and Misty just lost about all of her friend points with him. She's using her fear as justification to hurt someone else, and Ash is so not okay with that. So they argue a little, Ash defending poor Caterpie, and Misty tries to shove the bug on Ash, and she'll bond with Pikachu! And since Pikachu kinda has a soft spot for cute girls, the usual shock-anyone-who-touches-him thing doesn't happen. Much to Ash's irritation, he's like, I thought I was special! But despite this, when Ash takes Caterpie and says they're going to go on ahead without Misty, so she doesn't have to be scared by anything, Pikachu jumps out of Misty's arms and goes with his trainer and new friend. And it's actually kind of cute, because Pikachu's been kind of a snark knight to Ash in these early episodes. But whenever Caterpie looks over to him and asks if something's okay, can he trust Ash, or whatever, Pikachu always gives Ash the positive endorsement. Like, Pikachu's been a bit of a brat to his trainer, never gives him a break, but he really does believe Ash is the genuine article. And so, Caterpie gets the honor of being the first Pokemon to ride around on Ash's shoulders. Yes, before Pikachu even! Though we usually picture them as super glued together. Caterpie was actually the one to start that tradition. And they're so cute together. Another interesting thing to go down in this episode, we find out Ash's name in Pikachu speak. Pikachu's voice actor, Ikue Otani, is probably the best actor on this whole show, because as Pikachu, she has all the dialogue the human characters do, just as many lines, but it's basically a Meisner exercise, just three syllables. And over the years, we've seen her develop a small language out of that. Pikachu definitely has words for all his friends and things he interacts with. He has a self-introduction. There are a lot of patterns, and they are easier to catch if you have some familiarity with Japanese. They do follow the vocal inflections. And Ash, or Satoshi, translates to Pikapi, which is also where we got the name for this podcast. And actually, on Twitter, I was having a conversation with Pokemon Crossroads because they noticed that the English dub Fennekin seems to be developing a few patterns of its own. Maybe that actor is implementing a little bit of a Pokemon language for Fennekin, which would be great. So many props to that actor if this is indeed going down. It is definitely a lot harder to notice in some of the Pokemon who have less screen time and less lines. Like, Pikachu definitely talks the most. It's so easy to see, but definitely other Pokemon have been doing it. Piplup or Pochama, in Japanese at least, definitely had its own thing going on. And it was another out-of-the-ball Pokemon that talked an awful lot. But even if they haven't necessarily put specific words to have a English or Japanese equivalent, all of the Pokemon are so very expressive. Like, there is definitely meaning behind the words the actors are saying. And I think that's kind of one of the things about the show that often goes underrated by those not initiated, like us nerds here. I definitely think it needs to be appreciated more. There's some real talent in being able to communicate so much through a language or a set of words that, you know, don't have any inherent meaning. But there are really two things here that give me the warm fuzzies. One, that Pikachu has a name for Ash. Because we haven't really seen evidence that Pokemon in the wild give themselves names or nicknames. Yes, it would be hard to tell, but the few times that we have psychic Pokemon, they always call a Pokemon by a species name. Meowth does the same thing. The narrator always does, and even the Pichu Bros, two identical Pokemon of the same species, only get distinguished as Pichu Big and Pichu Little. Which leads me to believe that in the Pokemon culture, naming and descriptors are done a little differently, or perhaps not as big of a deal. In their culture, there might be a different meaning or no meaning at all to the tradition of naming. Not that a Pokemon has been shown to mind being given a nickname by their human trainer, but they've never shown a Pokemon with a name that a human didn't give to them. And I think that's telling. So that Pikachu calls Ash by his human name, giving it an equivalent in his language, is interesting to me, rather than just calling him a human. That Pikachu not only creates a distinct individual descriptor for his trainer, an action that doesn't appear to be done in his own culture, but actually translates Ash's name into his language and, like, recognizes the importance that Ash's name has to him, even though Pikachu just goes by Pikachu, even amongst other Pokemon. Like, I don't know, that's kind of cool. And if my headcanon actually holds water, touching. The idea that maybe Pokemon don't always understand this naming thing that's so important to the humans, but in the interests of friendship, if it's important to Ash, it's important to Pikachu, like... But more importantly than Pikachu having a name for Ash is that Ash recognizes it for what it is. Pikachu says, Pikapi, and immediately he turns around like, yes, what is it? Ash knows his name. And this is cool because they have been together for 2 days max. Many times on this show, it'll be stated that understanding Pokemon speech is a very difficult skill to master. And even Ash, who I'm convinced, as of advanced generation, certainly Unova, has some level of Pikachu speak comprehension, is not fluent. Most people can barely understand their Pokemon at all, even after years. So that Ash, after only 2 days, most of which Pikachu was unconscious for, knows the name that Pikachu calls him, that's kind of sweet. I guess the two of them, despite their differences, have managed to communicate the important stuff. But what Pikachu's pointing out at the moment is that Misty's following them through the woods. She claims it's just for the bike Ash owes her. That infamous bike that will haunt every argument they ever have. And a fight ensues, but it seems implied that this is not the full case. She says it's just for the bike, but it looks like Misty might have other motives that she's maybe not willing to admit out loud or to herself. Anyway, they continue on like that, bickering and pretending to ignore each other all the way to nightfall, when Ash can curl up in a sleeping bag by the fire with his Pokemon, and Misty can do the same on the other side of the tree stump. And this is also kind of cute in context, because Ash got a really bad start to his journey in the last episode. Like, it kind of feels, with Caterpie on the team and everything so rosy, like, this is the real start. Like, this is the first night of camping out. Like, this is the journey he wanted to have on day one, and the experiences he wanted to be creating. You know, going out with his Pokemon and traveling and being friends and being happy. And camping out under the stars with people who wanted to be with him. Like you can really see why Ash is so positive in this episode. Like, he's just really happy to have Caterpie with him and to have Pikachu not acting like a jerk face and and kind of being able to do this Pokemon trainer thing the right way. He's making up for all the failure and mistakes that went down in episode 2. Where he was totally feeling like a loser and that he'd failed before he'd really even started. Fresh start, clean slate, so to speak. But after he goes to sleep, it's a big full moon out tonight, and Caterpie and Pikachu have a long talk where Caterpie expresses his dream to one day evolve into Butterfree and fly freely under the moon. Which could be why it was so easy for Ash to catch it. Maybe Caterpie wanted to be caught by a trainer to help achieve this goal. A trainer's whole job is to help Pokemon improve, grow stronger, reach potential, and all that jazz. And maybe now Caterpie's dream has a better chance of succeeding, better chance of being a reality, than when the little bug was on its own. A trainer to help it gain experience might help this go a little faster. And Pikachu is excited by Caterpie's hopes and dreams and encourages his friend. But it seems the whole Misty situation still bothers the poor little bug. It just wants to be a pretty butterfly and be loved. Pikachu offers comfort, and it's a cute scene between the two of them, and again, all in Pokemon dialogue. And yet you know exactly what's happening. Like I said, I think the Pokemon voice actors are really underrated. The next scene, though, is far less cute, at least for Misty. What better way to wake up in the morning than with a big old bug right next to your face? She flips out and starts yelling at poor Caterpie. Like, oh, poor thing never meant to hurt anyone. All it wanted was to be Misty's friend. A fact which Ash points out, and it looks like Misty is steadily sinking down on that list of potential friends. If you're not nice to Pokemon, then Ash Ketchum wants nothing to do with you. But one thing I do love about the scene is that Misty's scream wakes Ash up so violently that he gets to his feet without even unzipping his sleeping bag. So when Caterpie crawls off all dejected, Ash follows on the ground, sliding along like a caterpillar himself. It's adorable. But Caterpie is so sad, tears, crying. It follows Misty's orders and gets back into its own Pokeball, away from her. And Ash is like, so help me, Misty, you will apologize. Someday, Caterpie, we'll show her how great you are. And that's when we run into Pidgeotto. Beautiful bird. Ash thinks it'll be a good addition to his team. Because at this point, anything is a good addition to his team. And he throws a Pokeball. And Pidgeotto's like, no, smacks the Pokeball away. It's a little too strong. You have to weaken it first, Misty is quick to point out. In her most condescending tone, and admittedly dumb move on Ash's part. But to be fair to him, in the anime, there's a certain will factor involved. Not all Pokemon require you to weaken them first. Some just want to come jump right into the Pokeball, and that's that. Misty says Ash only caught Caterpie this way because it's already a weakling. And I'd postulate, maybe Caterpie wanted to be caught, Again, its dream is to become experienced enough to evolve. Trainers can make that happen, even ones as green as ash. Anyway, Pidgeotto is going to take a little more work this time. And in the meantime, Misty has managed not only to insult Ash by implying he's an idiot, but also Caterpie, calling him a weakling. The leader of Team Ketchum will not stand for this. There are now things to prove. A chance for Caterpie to battle and show Misty what this team is made of. And anyone who's ever played a game of Pokemon is sobbing into their hands. But Ash is determined. Go, Caterpie! This is your moment! Never mind that this species sometimes eats your kind for breakfast. I believe in you. And Caterpie tries. Bless its little heart. But this is a hopelessly one-sided match, and the poor thing gets a little bit trashed. Ash is forced to recall it and send in Pikachu, who I'm a little surprised obeyed, but it looks pretty determined to get revenge for its buddy. Pikachu is type effective, so it's a quick win, and Ash catches Pidgeotto. Two captures, and we're only like 10 minutes in. Whatever Misty says, idiot that Ash may legitimately be, statistically speaking, he is rocking Kanto. But you know, there's more to life than numbers, and Misty cuts through Ash's victory bragging to lecture him, like, seriously, kid, how are you even alive? Strategy, learn it, use it. And Ash is like, strategy? What? Type advantage, that means something? To be fair, 90% of this series will show that the type advantage only works for Ash in the reverse. It's when he sends fire types against water types that he really gets the good victories, not the other way around. And when he finally does learn strategy, it still doesn't resemble anything a sane person would come up with. Honestly, his team's biggest advantage is guts. They're basically a bunch of communas. Like, we believe we shall win and not even logic, physics, or sanity itself will stand in our way. Which makes it a little ironic when Misty starts laying into Ash here. Like, no, I'm afraid if you just try hard enough and things will work out is not a valid life plan. Because she's technically right. These Pokemon depend on Ash. He should put more thought and care into his profession so that he doesn't accidentally send them to their deaths, at the very least. Just because nothing horrible happened this time is no reason to think that everything's okay, we don't need to learn from this. But at the same time, Ash does kind of spend the rest of the series subtly proving her wrong. On this team, when you try hard enough, things do tend to work out. But as she's tearing poor Ashy Boy completely down, who should show up? But Team Rocket? Wait, who are these people? I forgot about the voices changing. Oh my gosh, that's gonna throw me. James and Meowth. James doesn't sound like Seto Kaiba on acid, what? But yes, Team Rocket shows up. This is back when they were actually kind of threatening. Before they made chasing Ash their life goal, and by their own admission, something changed that day. Either they found that they liked living in this nebulous state of goodish evil between the black and white, so to speak, or Ash Ketchum actually broke them. We're not really sure. But today, they're kind of a force to be reckoned with. Ash looks genuinely scared to see them. Don't worry, baby, it'll pass. In seconds, actually, I think the motto was what did it. By the time it's over, Ash goes from, oh no, not them, not again, to, we're kinda busy right now. They don't leave, but they do start monologuing, and so we learn a few important things about Pikachu. According to Meowth, Pikachu's electric power exceeds its evolutionary level, meaning its electric attacks are stronger than they should be for how experienced it is. That makes Pikachu a little bit special. Now, one might question the wisdom of devoting so much time and energy to this one Pokemon just for that. I mean, it's rare, but Pikachu's not that great. But since we are watching this with the power of hindsight, let me remind you of a little season I like to call Best Wishes. And that episode where Giovanni, head of Team Rocket, boss man himself, saw Pikachu in action, and Jesse, James, and Meowth's life choices were finally validated. Because in that episode, Pikachu absorbed a full-blown attack from an electric legendary Pokemon. absorbed the whole thing and converted it into an electroball the size of a small island. Pikachu's inherent power level, slightly above average aside, its ability to absorb power is phenomenal. Like it did in episode 2. Like it did with Zekrom. Like it did with numerous electromagnets. And sometimes not even electric attacks specifically, just energy. Pikachu can take in and control gargantuan amounts of power, not only to the level of legendaries, but in that two-parter with Giovanni, it neutralized a legendary. That is a Pokemon worth catching for the boss. So Team Rocket sends out Ekans and Koffing. Oh, cute little babies, they're so precious here. And Ash is upset because 2 against 1, Kanto hasn't officially given the go-ahead on double battles. What are you cheats trying to do? But they're the bad guys. Team Rocket doesn't play fair. And Misty's like, well, they're using 2 Pokemon. Why can't you use 2 Pokemon? In the future, Ash will come to recognize Team Rocket fights as survival. Anything goes. But for now, like I said, it's kind of a fresh start for him. This is his first real Pokemon battle. The first real day of his journey, where things are going right. I expect he really doesn't want to screw up again and end up in the place he was in episodes 1 and 2. He can't cheat, not on the first battle of his journey. What kind of precedent does that set? Honor! Being a Pokemon trainer is supposed to mean something! And Misty's like, your idealism is adorable, but they're gonna kick your trash all the way to the curb. And it's a rough start for the good guys. Koffing uses Sludge Attack, and Pikachu is blinded. He and Ash have done virtually no training at all, let alone to deal with this, so he's out. But Ash is all the more determined to win this now, fair and square. Like, we'll show those criminals and these bullies that they can't just walk in here and intimidate and cheat and take things. Rah! He gives Pikachu to Misty and says, guard this with your life. I'm gonna go get my hardcore hat on. And he twists that baseball cap backwards to show he means business and calls out Pidgeotto. And Pidgeotto does extremely well for its first battle, being 2 against 1. It dodges like a pro. Maneuverability is top-notch, but it doesn't get in any hits of its own. And soon, Koffing and Ekans manage to outmaneuver it and take the bird down, clip its wings. At some point, someone should explain where Ekans learned to fly. The next Pokemon that Ash sends in is himself. Good old Ash always prefers the direct approach. Ash used Tackle on James. Nothing happened. James uses Flick Attack. It's super effective. Technically, only the Pokemon are supposed to be fighting during a battle. I have to say, though, how interesting would it be if we played around with that? Butterfree, use Sleep Powder on the other trainer. I'm gonna go punch this Blastoise. Just saying. Anyway, this really does leave Ash with only one option, other than run away, which is the ultimate last resort. Misty running away with Pikachu while Ash tries to hold them off. I don't know how well that will actually work, so a lot is riding on our last Pokemon here, Caterpie. Oh, my poor little bug, already tired from battling Pidgeotto, and now you're going up 2 against 1? The world is just not fair. And Team Rocket just laughs when Caterpie comes out of that Pokeball. Pikachu panics, Caterpie cowers, but Ash calls for String Shot. I have to say, String Shot has never done squat for me in the games, but in the anime, it works like Rap Attack. Caterpie just goes nuts, covers its opponents in string until they're all tied up. Ekans, Koffing, and Meowth. Once they're immobile, Caterpie can use Tackle, and its tackle is actually nothing to sniff at. Poor thing just has terrible evasion, so it needed everybody to hold still for a minute. Now it's Team Rocket who is out of options, and they flee! Yes, no blasting off. How strange. But the good guys won, and they did it fair and square. Cue the victory cheer! Ash gathers up Caterpie like, I'm so proud of you, you're the best! And even Misty has a compliment for the little guy. which prompts Ash to push a little further. Like, why don't you two make up? It's only natural to congratulate a Pokemon when it does a good job. Just pat Caterpie on the head and say so. And as much as it's difficult for Misty, she does make the effort. Unfortunately, just as her hand is about to reach Caterpie's head, the little guy's like, I'm so happy I'm gonna evolve. Light, string, Ash has to Pokédex what's happening. Caterpie is making itself a cocoon. In the future, it seems that most Caterpie evolve in just the flash of light, like all the other Pokémon. But for now, it's cool to see the evolution mimicking the one that happens in nature, going into pupation and all that. And Ash is like, score! It's like day two of my journey, and I've already got three Pokemon, two at their second evolutionary stage, three if we count Pikachu, and I've won my first battle. I'm king of the world! Actually, Dexter further adds to the joy by saying this particular Caterpie reached the Metapod, its new evolutionary form, quicker than average. So, one step closer to its dream. Looks like teaming up with Ash was a good move for Caterpie. But Ash picks up Caterpie and jokes around with his newly evolved friend, and Misty observes, Ash is the real deal. He really does love Pokemon. Like, lots of people say they do, but Ash lives and breathes these Pokemon, and in this episode especially, his relationships with them are prioritized over his ones with people. She's impressed by it. Because, you know, despite her rocky relationship with the creepy crawlies, she loves Pokemon too. And a guy who's kind to Pokemon is an okay kid in her book. And she's warming up to Metapod. But overall, bugs are still terrifying, which puts her in the wrong forest. Viridian Forest is known for bugs, bugs, and lots more bugs. Ash, on the other hand, is loving this. He puts Metapod in his backpack and runs off to explore, Pikachu trailing behind him. This is a character-defining episode for a lot of people, lots of great moments and discoveries. Obviously for Caterpie, it outlined its hopes and dreams, its friendly yet sensitive nature, but for Misty as well. Last episode, number 2, we saw that beneath her brash and bossy personality, she loved Pokemon and had a soft side to her as well. However, today we now see her out of a brave, heroic context and have her in the role of a villain. She's still the same girl as before. All the good sides are there, but now we see that there is a side of Misty that's downright mean. And if she realizes this about herself and does anything to improve on it, it will be the crux of a lot of her character development. Her interactions with Caterpie and Ash also suggest that a lot of Misty's bossy and confident and confrontational attitude are there to cover the fact that she's honestly vulnerable and afraid of things. When something scares her, she's the type to push it back or attack the threat. And again, her dealing with that is going to be a lot of her character development. It also establishes Ash as a hero to Pokemon, not just in the life-saving way that we saw in the last two episodes, but a hero of everyday things. This kid really loves Pokemon. He genuinely wants to be Caterpie's friend. He's crushed that other people don't love Caterpie as much as he does, and that it's making Caterpie so sad. Idiot Ash may be at this Pokemon training thing here, there is nothing but sincerity in his relationship with these creatures. And finally, Pikachu got a lot of great scenes as well. I believe this is the first time we see Pikachu be nice when there's nothing in it for him. He was kind of a jerk, episode 1, unconscious for a lot of episode 2, but here he's comforting Caterpie, staying up at night to talk. It also seems he's genuinely interested in being friends. So, a lot about these characters to mine from this episode. Lots of interesting facets of their personalities that maybe didn't get play earlier. But also an important episode in terms of action. The first capture. The first evolution. First time those two things happened in the same episode. Two captures, actually, Caterpie and Pidgeotto. First official Pokemon battle. A lot of things happened in this episode, a lot of plot went down, so definitely an important episode, definitely one worth rewatching, and definitely the opposite of filler. So I hope you enjoyed that. It definitely, if you're just starting this podcast and trying to go through chronologically, it's just business as usual. If you've been listening along for like the whole 200 episodes, you may or may not have already heard this, in which case it's old news, but it's always fun to go back and relook at things. Certainly if we had to fix up and re-record an episode, this would be the one worth doing it for. Hopefully that brings us up to a full and complete set, because it is my goal to catch them all, so to speak, to get all the episodes and the specials and the movies and the everythings of this Pokemon anime and chronicle Ash's entire journey. It would be a shame if one was missing from the collection just because, you know, computers and me don't always get along. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. If you want to report other episodes that have gone missing or just flail about how awesome Caterpie is and Pidgeotto as well, you can do so several ways. One, by visiting our blog page, pcappypodcast.blogspot.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at pcappypodcast, or you can send an email to pcappypodcast@gmail.com. But if you just want to download and listen, we're on iTunes and Zune at pcappypodcast. So thank you for joining me for this blast to the past. We shall now reunite with our Celebi and go forward into the future and hopefully not realize our professors were once our childhood friends, because now we're in different places of life and it's harder to hang out. But whatever happens, I'll see you all next time with the correct chronological episode. This has been PKP Podcast. Gotta catch them all. Cause